Well, I guess it's, do we have a quorum here?
Yep, 5 out of 7, technically.
All right, excellent. Well, Gene, as I think probably most of you know, is not going to be able to be here tonight. He's got a conflict. So I will just kind of go through the agenda here, and I think our first point of order is a roll call.
We don't have Gene or Jenna or Stacy or Robert here. So I think that's it.
Okay. And we can maybe do the Pledge of Allegiance.
Let's do that.
Well, Tom, you want to do this?
Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. I think the next item is approval of the minutes for January 16 and February 18.
I'll move approval.
Do I have a second?
I'll second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any nays?
One abstention.
One abstention.
I haven't had a chance to read it.
Okay. Both minutes?
Right. Correct.
Okay. So the motion was to approve both sets of minutes. And it's approved. This is going to be a quick meeting, I don't know.
Efficient.
Or a light agenda.
This is his presentation, so it's not sure.
I'll hold that back.
Yeah.
Public comments. I don't see any members of the public here, so
I think Becky will be in later.
Okay. All right. Staff reports. Gary, revised audit.
Oh, yes. We're just handing those out. Did we include those in the packet?
Yes.
Okay. We just wanted to give you a copy of the revised audit that came out after you met with the auditor and they rewrote it with some of your suggestions. So it's there just for your information and file. And so this is what you wrote your report based on. Mm-hmm. So there's no changes.
I think there were just a few things that were changed from the original version.
Yes, that's correct.
But that change occurred prior to the presentation.
That's correct. That's correct.
And they were pretty minor.
All right. Card.
I'm up.
You are up. I minimized your thing. There you go.
So we included a copy of his presentation for you. You can take notes on it.
Plus the backup is there as well.
Yes.
So we've had a lot of action since our last meeting, so we have quite a bit to update you on, so bear with me. What I'm going to do is I'm going to kind of go backwards and then forward. So we've started with construction. We're in the middle of a lot of construction currently. So the story I'm going to tell is going to start with construction, then design, and then planning. So I'm kind of going backwards, but that's the way we know the projects. And then I'll update you from there. So with that said, you'll be able to follow me from there. Okay, so the first item.
Can you close that block off?
I tried. We tried for 20 minutes.
It won't go.
It just would not go away. Okay, so program update. So this is where we started and where we are today. So we start with the Series A and B is $207 million. Series C anticipated is about a little under $73 million. Series D anticipated just over $7 million for the total of the $287. To date, our interest to date is $1.3 million. So to date, we are anticipating $288,305. Okay. What we know today is in construction of $201 million. So this is comprised of the three projects we've already discussed, which is San Marcos High School, the Woodland Park project, and the technology project. I'll get to where the numbers come from. I'm just trying to start with the story, and then we'll get into the numbers. So San Marcos High School, Kathy will give a more in-depth update on that, but it's nothing here has changed. We're still anticipating $180 million total project budget, still scheduled for an August-September completion for the fields and parking lots, but again, Kathy will get into the details on that one. Technology infrastructure, again, not much has changed here. I'll show you on the next slide. A couple projects have actually slipped across. So in your previous, if you're looking up at the screen, and previously we had our phase two in March and April. The first set of projects have kind of delayed, I'll be honest with you. We've had a hard time getting ready and getting the contractor going. I think we're learning a lot of our mistakes in phase one, so we'll learn and go a lot quicker in the next two phases. But if you look at your previous ones, these were filled with San Alejo Middle, Discovery was all in here, so everything has kind of shifted over about 2 months. So just be aware of that when you look at that presentation. And also, with that shift, we've added a couple projects into phase two, so the number went up from 2.0 to 3.5. So just if you look at your previous slides from last time we met, those are the general shifts that happened on this particular. But again, bottom line, $20 million is still the anticipated cost. We're still looking at finishing in the spring of 15 with all these projects to counterbalance the Common Core assessments. Okay?
It's very it's an important element of this new testing online thing that all the districts across the country will be doing. Well, most districts. I think some states bailed out of it. But so in order to do that, we can't clog up the system. So that's where we're making a lot of times they call it the pipes bigger.
Right.
So all these kids can get online at the same time, and we have the computers and so forth. So that's a new thing. Bubble sheets are out. Online testing with the computers in.
So that construction can only take place when the students aren't on site? Is that?
No. They well.
The majority is in the evenings and when there's vacation. That's the majority.
Yeah.
We do have a couple things we can do while the kids are there, but the majority, they just come in at 3 o'clock, and literally they work till midnight sometimes to try to get this done. So that's another reason for some of the delay, is just getting used to those working hours.
What are some of the other reasons for delay other than that?
It's really just learning what we need. Again, technology is changing every day, so we'll get to a certain point where we have it on the drawings, and we get there and say, wait a minute, we probably should add this and this now that we're here and we see how the system needs to be used. So power supply switches is one thing that we've kind of added a couple now that we're inserting it. So it's primarily just it's not that we're learning completely. We have a set of drawings we're working from, but when you get there with technology, you say, oh, we should have added that too. Those are some of the delays as well.
Is that something that you would think, not being well-versed in that area, mm-hmm. that the assessments they did initially, the site assessments, would sort of evaluate all that, but I guess enough time has passed that...
Correct. A lot of these... Pardon?
How much time has passed?
Well, it's been about, let's say, 8 to 9 months since they actually designed the drawings.
No, that shouldn't be that much change.
But when you get there, you realize, like I said, power switch is one that we've had to add quite a few power switches, because when we were back then and spoke to everyone said, oh, we just need one or two. Ends up we need more shutoffs. It's almost like shutoff valves.
I'm not faulting
the way
you.
I think,
I'm saying that
understood.
The consultant should have caught that.
That's what I was asking.
Yep.
Yeah,
no, it's a good set of plans. And again, now that we're here, we're realizing some things that we be honest, like you're saying, should have had. We're learning from that process, and then in phase two and three, we'll have it revised for those phases.
Yeah. I'll go if you don't mind. I can understand you being pushed back a couple of months, especially with it's a new type of project, mm-hmm. right? It's not like you're really deconstructing something and building something.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little more fluid. The $20 million budget, is that still anticipated to cover all of the same types of costs for all the same services? Is the only issue that it's just been pushed out a couple of months, but there's no reduction in functionality or service?
Today, that is the answer.
Okay.
If we need to, we have this $5 million at the end, and really that was for, again, things change even in a year and a half. Things will change, and we wanted to have $5 million there for if there's a program that's different or something that needs to be different.
Plus this type of stuff.
The room setup.
Like the thing that's right behind Kari, that type of
this
setup.
So these change literally every 6 months on what's the latest and greatest. We have a cushion at the back end to make sure we get the latest and greatest by the time we're done with everything.
And
so if there's a change, we do have some contingency.
Now, how much of this is hardware and how much is software? Because software typically is the biggest bugaboo.
I'll be honest, I don't have that answer.
Okay, just be aware that that's almost always the thing that really kills your budgets.
Well, in software, a lot of the software, if I'm correct, we're not paying through the prop case.
No, well, it's not educational stuff, but if it's something that's out of my line of expertise that runs the master system,
right.
like from a Cisco company, I don't know.
Right.
But
okay.
To the best of my knowledge, it's all mechanical stuff.
Right, that's what I'm anticipating here. Cause
yeah.
Some of the licensing.
But any sort of schedule this aggressive and you're keeping this close a conformance to
right.
implies that it's primarily hardware.
Right. another one I just remembered, Chromebooks. So for instance, we bought Chromebooks for this whole assessment. Those Chromebooks came a month late. And so now the guys who are putting in the systems come back and set up the Chromebooks according to the system they just installed. So that's another thing. So
explain it. Chromebooks did
Chromebooks
not come out.
They're laptops specifically set to be connected to the website. Mm-hmm. And so there is no software, which is the good thing. Everything is based off the website. You don't install any software in these new laptops.
The laptops did not come out of 5K.
Yes, that's correct. But we still have to come back and integrate them with each other. So that was another delay that we had in the process.
Well, most of the software, typically you have some customization.
Correct. Mm-hmm. That's where the guys come back and help.
That's where the overruns and the schedule overruns come in.
Correct.
Tom, do you have a question?
So the phase two increased from, or is now currently projected to be $3.5 million, mm-hmm. and it was at $2 million?
It was $2 million for four projects previously. Okay. Because of the delay, we're going to try to squeeze two more projects into phase two.
So but the overall total budget didn't change.
That's correct.
And so you took it out from
phase three
and moved it over.
That's correct.
And so that the total remains the same.
Yep.
And again, as Gary mentioned, it's the bulk of the Prop K fees, or money, not fees, mm-hmm. the money is being used for infrastructure and not technology devices.
No student or teacher devices, yes. Careful what term I use, because a lot of this stuff is a device of some sort. And this lets you know that deadline is imperative, that last one, mm-hmm. because testing starts in the spring and it better be ready,
right.
you know, or it's not going to be pretty.
It's
not going to be
pretty. It really isn't. It's got to be ready.
Pardon me?
That's Common Core testing.
Yes, mm-hmm. yes.
And a bunch of software comes from the state.
That, well, if it breaks, it's going to be a state thing where everybody gets on the same time, mm-hmm. and it goes, but that's not out. That's nothing
that's
we can
beyond
do.
Beyond your control.
Yeah, that's someone's doing that at Sacramento. But, right. yeah, we have to be ready on our side, and that's...
Gary, do you have a contingency plan in case, for some reason, one of the sites isn't up and running? Just got to get it done.
Overtime, whatever it takes, it's got to be done.
Okay.
Yeah. This sheet, nothing changed from last time. This was discussing how we're combining with other bond and grant funds to try to maximize our dollars. So this was particularly related to the E-rate grant, which is a federal grant that we're participating in. So nothing changed there. The last project here is the Woodland Park Middle School. Again, nothing changed from last time. We are 98% complete. We have one, if you drive through the front, you'll see a little bit of construction up front because we have one ramp that we have to install, but we're waiting for it to get approved by the state architect. So when we're finished with that, we'll be done with that project as well. And we would like to do a tour over there with you all. We were planning to do it this time, I'll be honest, but the schedule didn't work at the site. They had something else going on this evening, so... We will get you there probably at the
next. Actually, you could have went on an art walk tonight.
Right, yeah, art fair over there. So we heard you, and we still will do the tour.
Yeah. We'll try to arrange for, because there's a couple things we could, maybe we could just get a bus and just bring you around, meet some night that's convenient for all of you, and just mm-hmm. bring you around.
And then here's just some more pictures of the Woodland Park completion. The interior art room, administrative services, modernization. It came out really nice. I think everybody's happy with that. So as far as construction out of Series A and B are concerned, this is where we get the 201, 200 from. Okay? So that's construction. Now we're going to switch gears into the design process. So this is the new stuff that we haven't updated you on, but that's why we're here, is to make sure you know where we're going with the money. So design, meaning we plan to do these projects in over the summertime. These are projects that have come up since we last met that we plan to do over the summertime. $5.8 million out of Series B. We have shade shelter projects, water wells projects, Carrillo Elementary School. We have some growth needs at Carrillo Elementary School, and then also at San Marcos Elementary School. Now, the focus here, a lot of times when you hear growth, people are throwing down portables real quick to get it done. We're going to do permanent construction because we know that Prop Cave dollars were supposed to be spent on permanent construction, not portable. The whole point is to get rid of portables. So just be aware that the money we're spending here is not for portable growth. And then the last project, the miscellaneous projects, curb appeal project. This is in preparation for the future project that we're doing at Alvin Dunn, and I'll show you that in a minute. Discovery Elementary School, they have a walkway that's fallen apart. And it's more than just a maintenance project. It's actually tear down and replace, so it fits within the Prop K dollars.
It's the covered walkway.
The covered walkway. They, right down the middle of the whole campus, they have a covered walkway.
It's new construction.
Well, what is they? It was cute at the time. Is out of wood. Well, the wood's rotten, and so we did a practice section to see if we could fix it, cut the ends off, and put a nice top on it. And so that's what he's going to bid the whole thing out and do it.
Right, it's supposed to be.
Well, some of it just looks a little shaky right now, so we need to get it done as quickly as possible.
And then the last one is San Diego Middle School. Again, with the growth at that particular campus, we have expansion needs at their campus for primarily for their PE facilities. But that's something that, again, for their growth needs, they're kind of busting at the seams until we get the K-8 built. They need some assistance at that site as well.
They're not getting much out of this deal. We're putting a shade cover there,
right.
You know, and I think that's what we talked about when we did Prop K. There wasn't much to do about those schools. So they're just getting a little bit.
Right. Because they're one of the newer schools. So these are just kind of some pictures. So, you know, permanent building. This is, it's called a pre-checked approval set of building. So it's already been approved by DSA. So that's, we don't have to wait for 6 to 9 months for it to get approved by DSA. So we found a company that does this, and I think it's a nice looking building there that we're looking to install for both the Creo project and for the San Marcos Elementary School project. So for Creo, we're looking at adding 5 classrooms, and at San Marcos Elementary School, 4 classrooms. They're growing that fast, and the need is that high. And this is also anticipation for the next couple of years. We're not just putting it down for this year. We've actually put in a couple extras so that we can sustain this, and not just, again, we're trying to avoid putting down portables every single year. So that was the intent here.
When you say pre-checked, it's a design permanent building. It's
correct.
Not like a modular sort
That's
of thing.
That's correct. It's we call it stick built, so it's from the ground up building. It's not a modular.
Stucco, nice roof.
Correct. Where is it going to go at Creo?
At Creo, we're looking at the, you know where the KOC buildings are?
Mm-hmm.
Out there, next to the KOC buildings.
Just extension.
Correct. Yeah. Correct. Okay.
And that's 900 square feet.
No, it should be bigger.
960.
That's 960 is a typical classroom size. That's just a picture of a typical floor plan. So we'll have a learning wall. This is all casework here. We call it a learning wall. They have the sliding marker boards and stuff right along here. Lots of storage. It has the HVAC closet. That's just where the mechanical system lies. There's a sink in the classroom with this is this is typically carpet. We're gonna try to do the exposed concrete like we typically do here. But this is more of a weatherized VCT whenever you're near the sink. And then some more cubbies and things along the side here. So it's just a picture of what the typical classroom will look in this facility.
Is there only one ingress and there's no other?
That's correct. When you stay under 1,000 square feet, that's how you're allowed to have the one door.
That's typical of all our classrooms. But if we were to turn that into a preschool, they have different rules. Which would require to correct me if I'm wrong.
No, you're right.
So,
are there any windows?
Yes, there are windows. If you go back to the last one, up you can see the windows here,
mm-hmm.
and then also windows up top. And this actually helps for natural daylighting, so you can actually the lights can be off in a lot of cases if that works appropriately. So it just saves what the energy costs to have lots of windows. Yes.
So it sounds to me that it's essentially going to look seamless, like it's just. It's an extension of the existing facility.
It'll be nice. It'll be nice. Mm-hmm. We're going to put it at SME, which that's all block wall, but it'll fit in. The color scheme, he's going to paint it the similar colors. It'll look very nice, not like a piece of portable junk. It's going to look like a really nice building. Just one story.
Right.
Very
which
simple.
Would fit within the requirement of the bond. And with that, it's just driven on enrollment estimates?
Enrollment and class size, the new, before we sold Prop K, we had some different setups. Mm. With the new budget, they've threw out some of those old setups and have new ones. So our biggest trouble is kindergarten. Well, we were able to get a 20-to-1 by bringing another teacher in halfway for a period and split them into 2 15. They don't allow that anymore. That's called option 2. Option 2 is out the door. So we have to eventually get them all to 24-to-1. That changed our number of classroom needs in our district. And we never had, no, I shouldn't say never. We stopped having 20-to-1 in third grade. We just had 30. now they want that 20 to 41. So that's throwing our numbers off that came in after Prop K and after our developer fees and, you know, so forth. So we're having to deal with that.
All right, so I'm a little confused. I'm sorry. Is it more enrollment or is it more changes in the requirements?
A little bit of both. A little bit of both. But the requirements are really throwing us a curve.
I see.
So are the requirements, they going to be kindergarten through third are 24 to 1?
TK through third.
And that's starting 2014?
No, it's we have to grow that way over the next 8 years.
Oh.
And it'll go at different speeds. But I estimated somewhere around, over the last year, 40 more classrooms, or teachers, I should say.
Right.
Some of them we have room for, some we just don't, and we'll have to deal with that.
Where is the growth coming from, primarily?
Growth. The San Alejo is obvious, and we're going to build that other school, which will download Discovery, and a little bit of San Alejo. Not as much as I would like, but we're trying to sell it so people will go there voluntarily to that new school, some of them, to help download those the two San Alejo schools. We're a little up at Carrillo, you know, but I don't, there's no new houses there other than what just opened up this past year and a half. So eventually we're going to see that go down a little bit. I believe La Casa's stabilized. Joliet, there should be a little bit of growth at Joliet.
San Marcos Elementary.
San Marcos up elementary a little bit, but what will we may just tweak some boundaries a little bit. Across the mission here, at one point in time, someone bought a lot of space, old, and they want to build low income, but then the RDA went away, so it postponed that a little bit, I'm sure, but I'm not sure what they're going to build someday.
So DeVia Villages and Palomar Station.
Palomar Station, we're told the market is not for kids. Both those, it's about 800 units, the Palomar Station, the one next to it, about 800 units, they're not targeting families. They're targeting...
One and two bedroom. Mostly.
Actually, more one bedrooms from what I hear.
Studios.
They even allowed them to take out the little playground area because they're really marketing college kids and younger people that don't have kids. So that won't hurt me from an enrollment standpoint. They would go to Alvin Dunn. Now, down here, the creek, there's a 100-unit low-income that was postponed for a while, and then down by the Arco station, there's another, I assume, low-income apartments area, probably about 350 units. Those will go to Discovery, and we're downloading Discovery, so that'll fit real nicely into that for a while. We also have in the university project, we have a school lot open there that's a part of the project. We'll have to build it, of course, but at some point in time, there'll be another school in there when they produce enough kids.
And how is that going to be built? They're not paying much in the way of public facilities fees.
They are. They will. They're going to have to pay developer fees.
Well, they get cut in half because of level two.
Well, we've never had level three, so... Yeah. It's a conundrum we have in that the state's supposed to make up the other half, but they don't have a bond. But they won't
pre-approve for the next new money, but that probably won't happen.
Well, it'll be a while, but they won't start really grading until 2016, I think, from what I hear. And so we got some time, and hopefully there'll be more bond money to make up the other half of that. Otherwise, they need to go to level three. And they could make a CFD, too, out of that if they wanted to generate the money for the school district. Yes.
Gary, you mentioned that the development fees weren't recalculated based on the new staffing or site requirements, you know.
That's correct.
And so when the consultant came out and to the board of San Marcos Unified School District, they ran some calculations and saying that the developer fee should be set at
X
dollars, which is one half, or not a half, but it's significantly less than Vista Unified School District at the time. And
I don't think so. I think that's inaccurate.
But it's less than this Vista's Unified School District.
If it is, it's not much. I don't, because
I don't know.
I think there was a misunderstanding there. somewhere along the line, but ours is at what, three some? What is theirs?
I want to say 354.
354, which was a little bit of a drop because the land component was a drop.
Right.
But it's a, if you look at the records, I think it will show that it's less than, at 354.
The new figure, yeah.
The new figure. It's less than Vista.
Uh-huh.
And you're telling me that, that they didn't reflect that in the calculations. So I'm worried about how that gets reconciled that we don't rely too much on the bonds, but the calculation should be fair.
We do it every year. We redo the calculation every year. Some districts don't. We do.
Okay.
And we try to push it as far as we can legally to put everything in there.
So. Plus you're going to do the boundaries again anyway in another year and a half.
Well, we redid them for, what, 17, 18?
Yes.
Is that what?
Through 17, 18.
Through 17, 18, but I don't know. It all depends on what happens and what, you know, what pushes. We try not to do them every other year, but, you know, every 5 years we tend to do them.
Gary, is there a, so this is sounds like a reapportionment type of exercise where you look at your, by district, you look at the growth of and student population and, I don't know, I guess, whatever your, however you do it, voter or property owner. Is it a requirement, a state requirement, to do that every so often, or do you just do it as needed?
It's your option. Carrie and Kathy know the system better than I do. You can do the state level one fee with less trouble than doing two. You really have to do your studies and calculations on level two to justify level two. Many districts don't even go that far. They just take level one or nothing if they're a declining district and they have plenty of room. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Yeah.
That's correct. And there's other factors. I mean, for instance, we just, a lot of it's based on the assessed value, and we just did some assessments for the appraisals for the K-8 school or to get that. So that factor was put in the formula, and that actually reduced our number as well. So using the real numbers of today actually reduced our number as well. So there's lots of different pieces to the formula to get our level two fees, but you're correct. Not everybody goes after the level twos. We have to do our due diligence, show the report to make sure that we're getting what we're supposed to get on that.
Well, that's interesting because a lot of cities and special districts and other forms of local government have the requirements through under state law to go through a reapportionment exercise every minimum 5 years. You can do it prior to that, but I didn't realize there was a difference. So you actually have some flexibility. If you needed to, you know, not that you would want to wait 5 years, but if you needed to, you could do it sooner.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Plus, the two reports use different criteria. And so when you look at the numbers, they're not going to be the same because the criteria that's set by the state gives you a different number in the end. So,
San Marcos is also fairly unique in that most cities, 30% of the homes are bought by investors. But right now, in San Marcos, a lot of them are being purchased by upscaling families. And no one's figured out yet, to my knowledge, just how that's going to affect the numbers. But we are in a very unique pocket because everywhere else, they're turning into rentals.
And we do in
it's
our
the desirable
studies.
School district, I think.
Yeah.
You're right.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right.
I think we concur.
The developer fee, system is very inefficient. It takes information that's late. You get you get money now, but you may have to use it for temporary facilities until you get enough kids to build another school. Then you don't have enough money because they don't take that into consideration of buying portables to house the kids temporarily to handle. It's just not in our favor, and it's never been in our favor.
And all the systems are at the state right now. I know there's some school districts that put in for state money 2, 3, 4 years ago. Well, they just got apportioned last 2 weeks ago, and they can't use the money because they no longer have their half to match it. Mm-hmm. So they have to forego that money. So it's just the system doesn't work.
But we'll take it.
We're trying to get it.
Yeah, we feel it. We can feel it.
The portable buildings have a depreciated life or a life expectancy of about 25 years. And then these permanent type of structure are more like 50 years.
Up to 50,
so with maintenance and
yes, okay. They're pretty simple. The ones we're putting in, we're just the same. We're not putting bathrooms in or anything. Just pretty simple, cut and dry classrooms.
Are they wood frame or are they metal?
These are wood frame, stick built wood frame.
But he's asked, do they have metal 2x4s or wood 2x4s?
It's wood 2x4s.
Wood 2x4s.
The reality is, you know, if we're really projecting with all the growth and the everything, the class size reduction that we're